You're listening to another tasty dish from the larder. Recipes for fresh thinking, cooking up new ways of being.
Hello, and this is Alvira Villarini, tour guide for Cube of Karma, Flavors of Thought, and Recipes for Fresh Thinking. And today I have with me the mind and the being behind this wealth of knowledge and experience. Tom Evans, who's published the book The Flavors of Thought and the other book Lightbulb Moments, is going to talk to us about his new book, which I'm very pleased to say I've been privileged to read some of it, called Planes of Being. So Tom, welcome and thank you for being here today. And as I've said to you before, every time I read something of yours, I know I'm ready to move forward. My perceptions and personal reality will be changed in some magnificent way. So I'm really excited to hear about this new book of yours.
Oh, thank you. I've never been called a mind and a being before, so thank you for the accolade.
So Tom, tell me a little bit about what inspired you to write Planes of Being.
Well, I guess it came from a general desire and a thread that goes through all my work, which is about 5 or 6 years ago, I bumped into this chap who gave me about 3 or 4 DVDs full of esoteric material. He gave them without any explanation. He just said, "You'll know what to do with these."
Right.
And of course I didn't. Right. So I started looking through this material. And I realised how complex it was, but also it's full of this great richness. And I've always been a natural teacher, you know, even from school. I love to explain the complex in a simple way. So I thought, wouldn't it be kind of fun, really, for my own benefit rather than anybody else, to try and understand this in a way that had a relevance to a contemporary environment? Because a lot of this stuff goes back, you know, thousands and thousands of years. So perhaps when it was kind of invented, if you know what I mean, it had relevance then. But I've kind of been striving to, one, explain it all, and two, to bring it up to date so it's got a context and a usefulness today. And that's the general background to Flavors of Thought and Planes of Being.
Fantastic. So you've done that in the book called Planes of Being. You've taken this old wisdom and you've made it contemporary. Is that right?
Correct, yeah. Now, the Planes of Being specifically looks at the minor arcana of the tarot, whereas Flavors of Thought looked at the major arcana of the tarot. But the tarot has touch points with loads of other metaphors and glyphs like the Tree of Life and Kabbalah, astrology, and in fact the I Ching and all that sort of stuff. So tarot's, if you like, was 1,000 years ago the contemporary way of explaining all of this stuff. And then what happened with tarot, it's kind of got into a usage, and not quite an abusage, but you know that word that is used mainly for divination, fortune telling.
Yeah.
Whereas some of
yeah.
the messages in it are actually, well, they're the keys to the wisdom of ages. They're keys to everything. And from the tarot, there's a lot of information there about why we came to be and why we're here. And really the two books, Planes of Being and Flavors of Thought, unpack all of that in a way and explain the structure behind the tarot as well and why it was devised like it's been devised and what clues we can take from it that give us, I guess, an indication of where we've come from as humanity and where we're going in the future. So it's a big book. So I'm also, apart from just unpacking the tarot, I'm also exploring where our evolution is taking us too.
So people who are excited about the book don't really need to know anything about tarot, do they?
No, I explain it's not a book about the tarot, it's a book inspired by the tarot, and the bits of the tarot you need to know I explain as we go along.
Okay.
And also if you're into the tarot and it entices you and encourages you to look into it some more, some people that are much more intelligent than me have written better books about the tarot, and at the back I put some resources of the books that I recommend that I found useful.
So if you were to summarise that, Tom, what would be the essence of this book, this new book that you've written?
Good question. So the essence is simply this, is that we think that we are having an experience in this three-dimensional reality, which is kind of separate from everything else. And the whole point of the book is underneath us, underpinning our reality, are higher planes of existence. And we're, if you like, the tip of the iceberg of these higher planes. And what we've done is we've come from these planes, and we've kind of crystallized and distilled ourselves into this three-dimensional form. And that's not just us, it's matter in general. It's the earth we're on, the sun the earth revolves around, all the stars, all the cosmos. This matter that we call reality is this tip of this big iceberg. Now, the scientists have obviously discovered this too, because the scientists with all the mathematics are saying, well, hang on, where's all this missing dark energy? Where's all this missing dark matter? And the math doesn't add up for the amount of matter that's in the universe for it to stick together. And so quantum physicists are looking, and cosmologists are looking at, there must be more than this. And of course, the mystics down the ages have always known intuitively there's more than this. And they describe them as the higher planes. But you can also think of them as being lower planes, so just planes outside our existence. And the metaphor I use in the book to help us mere three-dimensional people get our head around it is that we can imagine a flat land. So we can imagine a world with two dimensions, and with just a length and a breadth. And in fact, there's a great book written back in the 1800s called Flatlander, and I reference that in the book as well. And imagine in a flatland, if a three-dimensional person came along into that flatland and moved through the flatlanders wouldn't be able to recognise what they are. They just see this person pop in and pop out again. And of course, there's no up, so they can't go around each other. They've got to sort of move around in their flat plane. And the same is true for us. So when we see signs of this extra-dimensional framework, they come in things like dreams. We might see people's auras. We might experience it in meditation. We may get flashes from the future in the form of light bulb moments. Some people get clairaudience. They get voices. Some people get visions and this sort of stuff. And this is, if you like, the veil of our three-dimensional illusion breaking down. And so what I've done in the book is I've described this other world, and it's intuitive, it makes sense. We can't be everything that there is. And then I describe in the second part of the book how we can start to work with it for real world inverted commas outputs. And one of the things I specifically do is show how you can use a pack of cards, and you don't even need a pack of tarot cards, you can do it with a pack of playing cards to ask and answer questions, to do not fortune telling, because I think it's not non-ethical to read people's fortunes and tell them their future, because I think it's important people find their own futures out. But certainly to gain wisdom on, let's say, an issue or an opportunity you're currently with, using the cards as a metaphor.
So when you do that, when you use the cards as a metaphor, when you use this book in that way, then what are you doing? What are you tapping into?
You're tapping into a kind of universal truism. Right, that everything we see is built on numbers, and everything we see is built on structure, and we're a product of that. So when we start to work with the cards, we just tap into that aspect of the card. So for example, take a card like the Hangman from the Major Arcana. The Hangman is all about thinking upside down. So if you pull that card, let's say, I just say to somebody, well, let's think about this situation in a completely different way. Oh, and how does it look? You know, let's see it from in NLP, you might describe it as perceptual positioning. So let's just see it from the other person's point of view. The card actually has a person suspended by their foot, so they see the world upside down. And another way of describing it is, let's see our glasses half full as opposed to half empty. Yeah, let's see what learning we can get from this adversity. Yeah, what can we invent as a result of the experience that we've had? The tarot is just full of this richness in terms of graphical metaphor, but there's also a kind of magical quality to it, and there's a structure of it to it. And the Minor Arcana actually describes the whole of the planes of being. It describes the archetypal realm, the area of ideas, the creative realm, which is the area we create form. Formative plane is where it starts to distill, and the physical plane is where we actually make it happen and where we experience it.
Okay, and so how do we connect with them? Is that through just the tarot, or through an experience, a visualization? I mean, what does the book actually teach?
Well, what's interesting is we all the time we experience them. We just don't we don't attribute that experience to them.
Okay.
So every single day, you can't be alive and not be in touch with the planes of being.
So this is about raising a level of awareness, is that right?
Basically, if you have a bright idea, a light bulb moment, that's a direct connection to the archetypal plane.
Right.
Anytime you come up with a creative form, like a series of notes on a guitar or piano, some words on a page, these sentences that we're uttering just now and this dialogue we're having, that's us interacting with the creative plane. When we then structure them and put them into, we take those words and we then put them into a book, or we take those few notes and then we assemble them into a song with a structure, with verses and bridge points and the chorus, then we interact with what's called the formative plane. And then when we make that album or publish that book, so it becomes a physical entity, then we're bringing it into the physical plane. And this process is kind of useful. It's useful in terms of product development. So if you accept that everything has a sequence, starting with a seed idea, let's create some nuances, if you like, around that seed idea, where it can go. Let's dream of where it can go. Let's form it into some shapes, and then let's make those shapes into products and services. That's a natural flow for ideas to go through. If you take an idea and try and make it happen really quickly without going through some sort of process, then you might have to go back and do some rework.
So this gives people a process that they can follow, so that they can become more aware of what's going on. So when they do have those light bulb moments, it actually comes to some kind of fruition. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. And then so we're naturally doing this stuff all the time. But once you accept that this is, and it's only a model to explain our existence. So I can guarantee there's another model that sits above this and a model that sits behind that as well. So it's only a sort of, if you like, a layperson's way of trying to understand the ununderstandable. Mm-hmm. But what we can do with this model, we can use it. So we can say, well, actually, if we assume they're real entities and they're real planes, then what we can do is we can tap into them at will. So in meditation or in our dream state, we're naturally tapped into the planes. And in deeper meditation, as you go from sort of from delta to theta, then you tap into the higher and higher planes, if you like.
What was that about delta and theta, Tom?
These are brainwave states.
Oh, okay.
Our natural state is beta. When we get into low meditation, we emit alpha waves. Then when we get into like vipassanic meditation, we get into delta and theta waves. They're just a measure of what activity or where your brain is tuned into, if you like.
Okay. So does this book have exercises that people can do? Is it interactive in that way where they can take what they've learned and solidify that? Have they visualizations that they can listen to?
Yeah, I've just completed the first draft, and there's going to be two other additional components to it. The first is going to be a course in magic, how to use the cards magically.
Oh, wow.
So, and this is not about a course in fortune telling, it's how to actually use the cards to bring magic into your life. And I'm going to do a set of MP3 visualizations as well, as you say, to get people connected with the different planes. And also to understand, when you're in a certain state, how you're connected and why you're connected. So let's say you're in a situation where you feel you come up against a brick wall with your business or with a creative project. Wouldn't it be great if you can say, okay, I really want some ideas now. How do I tap into the archetypal plane? Yeah. And then I want to shape those ideas. So how do I tap into the creative plane? What processes do I go through now? So I invoke the formative plane. And then how do I ground that into the physical plane?
Fantastic. So what could the reader expect from having read the book, having done some of the work that needed to be done? Because, some people would read the book and then just put it on the shelf. Other people would read the book and engage with it and really work through it. I'm talking about the latter. So people who really take the book and engage with it, what can they expect?
Well, you know, some people are lucky in life and some people are not so lucky.
Yeah.
This is, if it's anything, this is a book on how to live a lucky and charmed existence.
So who wouldn't want to read it, Tom?
Who wouldn't want to read it? That's what it's all about. It's how you invoke magic into your life and how you can let the world be a fantastic, wonderful place. And you know what? I've always thought with all my books, if just one person reads it and gets it, and then they teach two other people how to do it, and those two other people teach four people, it doesn't take many of those iterations to change the planet.
So when's the book being published?
Well, it's going to depend if I self-publish it or publish it with a publisher. I'm going to let the universe decide that, so it's out of my hands already.
Okay.
So if I self-publish it, it's within 2 or 3 months of this interview. If it gets published with a publisher, within 6 or 12 months. And I know whichever route we go down, it's the perfect route. So there's no bad outcome. And that's one of the benefits of living this charmed existence. And I must share with you what happened at the... I'd approached this particular publisher about 12 months ago about the seed idea for the book. That's when I was obviously connected with the archetypal plane. And I just finished the last chapter, opened up my emails, and had an email from them saying, you know that book you mentioned, where have you got with it? Are you still interested in publishing it with us? And I said, well, you won't believe this, but I've just literally finished the first draft today. So I sent it off to them, and we're literally in that discussion point at the moment. And the decision is out of my hands, and it's a good example of what happens when you live in this sort of charmed life. And you know what? Let's say they come back and say it's not for us. What great information is that? You know, what have you learned from that process? You know, and it teaches that if you do want to publish a book with that publisher, what will you then have to write so they will then publish it? So there's literally never a bad outcome. Whereas a lot of people would see that as a rejection. Yeah, I just see it as a sign, you know. And another learning, yeah. But I love the way these serendipities come in, and I know personally, just living a serendipitous life is a much more joyful existence.
So Tom, is there somewhere that the listeners can go to read a little bit about your book? Have you got a web page that they can go to?
Absolutely, recipesforfreshthinking.com. Basically, there's a free ebook you can download from there, which gives you some of the free recipes which came from Flavors of Thought. And what's going to happen then you're going to tap into a recipe a week as well. And as and when Planes of Being becomes published, I'll start to leak bits of it out through that channel as well. So the recipes can be built around the major arcana and the minor arcana. And so as time goes on, we're going to have much more fun with these recipes. And there's information about the book, some of the more advanced programs that we run around the Planes of Being as well, and a whole sort of training practitioner program that's now growing up, which I didn't plan as a result of writing the first book.
So Tom, thank you so much for that. That's been enlightening, to say the least, and I really look forward to receiving the published version either way. So I do wish you all the best. And as you know, I'll probably be one of your first readers.
Really appreciate that. You take care.
All right, Tom. Take care. Bye-bye.